If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Darren Adam on LBC.
03456060973. We'll come straight back to our conversation about loneliness in just a few moments time. But Joe Biden has met Vladimir Putin in Geneva. This was the first meeting since Biden became president, the first meeting, I think, between the two men since 2011. Joe Biden said the talks were positive, but he has warned America would not tolerate interference in American democracy. For his part, Putin said the talks were constructive and that both sides have agreed to return ambassadors after they were withdrawn earlier this year. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, joins me this morning. Simon, thank you very much for your time. Difficult one to read this. What do we make of this meeting between Biden and Putin? Difficult to decode?
I mean, I think the jury's out, and Joe Biden himself concedes that the jury is out. There will, I suspect, be abiding questions in the days and weeks ahead here in Washington as to precisely what President Biden got out of this and why he thinks it made sense to go to Geneva to hold this meeting, because certainly Vladimir Putin, in his press conference, seemed to relish the mere fact that the meeting had occurred, a little bit like Kim Jong-un getting that meeting in Singapore with Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin seemed to rather enjoy the imprimatur of respectability that was lavished on him by President Biden, who showed up for this meeting, shook Vladimir Putin by the hand with a smile on his face on the front doorstep of that 18th century villa in Geneva, insists that he drew red lines for the Russian leader, made it absolutely clear that Russia's behavior on the world stage has to change, but also insisted that it made sense to hold the meeting face to face because he was able to convey directly to Vladimir Putin what he wanted Vladimir Putin to understand about America's new approach to Russia. There will, I think, be questions about that, even after President Biden insisted that he wanted to get away from all the kind of hyperbolic, overcharged rhetoric and expectations surrounding this meeting. At the end of the day, in concrete terms, he's hurtling back to Washington right now on board Air Force One with a commitment by the Russian president to engage in some kind of future strategic dialogue focused on arms control and security issues. No doubt that that's an important new bilateral effort that will get underway. Some kind of commitment to hold talks on the issue of cyber, even though in his press conference, Vladimir Putin denied completely that the Russians are responsible for cyber attacks on the United States and suggested, without providing any evidence to back the suggestion up, that most of those attacks are actually launched from American soil against the United States. And also, this summit provided Vladimir Putin with a platform to rubbish American democracy on the world stage, calling into question America's own treatment of human rights, talking as he did about Guantanamo Bay, about George Floyd, about American military action against civilians in Afghanistan, and very much pushing back against Joe Biden's previously stated viewpoint that Vladimir Putin is the man in the room who is the killer. If you take a listen to what Vladimir Putin said right at the start of his press conference, he insisted that this had been a rancor-free meeting with the American leader.
As for the first general appraisal, I think there was no hostility, quite the contrary. We don't share the same positions in many areas, but I think that both of these sides showed a willingness to understand one another and to find ways to bring our positions closer together. The talks were quite constructive.
So what happens after that? Well, it doesn't seem as though Joe Biden invited Vladimir Putin to visit the White House or Vladimir Putin invited Joe Biden to visit the Kremlin. And for the rest of his news conference, President Putin certainly only underscored the deep disagreements that he still has, not just with Joe Biden personally, but with America more broadly. Deep strategic disagreements about all sorts of approaches to life and, of course, about democracy. And dissent in his own country as he continues to allow Alexei Navalny to languish in jail.
Now, it seemed just watching the body language as much as anything else that Joe Biden was not in any way fearful of Vladimir Putin, or indeed there was no sense that Vladimir Putin had anything on him, as was sometimes suspected to be the case with the former guy. It felt like a different relationship.
Oh, yeah, no question about that at all. And the White House has been saying for weeks, look, Joe Biden has prepared 50 years for this meeting with Vladimir Putin. And they have, of course, met one-on-one before. Mm. But equally, I think we did see a continuation of the Russian leader's efforts, backed up as he was, at least at the beginning of the meeting, by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, another man who's been on the scene for a very long time and, like his boss, has seen American presidents come and American presidents go, to give something in this meeting in the form of that commitment to engage in further talks on arms control, but not to give very much more than that. There were no commitments made by President Putin in this meeting at all, for example, to ease up in his treatment of political opponents in Russia, although President Biden says that he conveyed to the Russian leader that it would be disastrous for Moscow if Alexei Navalny were to die while he was in Russian custody. But Joe Biden himself, coming out of this and holding his news conference, seemed to concede that not only are there going to be no short-term, immediate, tangible ways of proving that this get-together worked, but we are going to have to wait for several months to get a sense of where this relationship's going.
This is about practical, straightforward, no-nonsense decisions that we have to make or not make. We'll find out within the next 6 months to a year whether or not we actually have a strategic dialogue that matters. We'll find out whether we work to deal with everything from release of people in Russian prisons or not. We'll find out whether we have a cybersecurity arrangement that begins to bring some order. Because look, the countries that most are likely to be damaged, failure to do that, are the major countries.
And he got very tetchy at the end of that press conference with one reporter from CNN who asked him why he was confident that Vladimir Putin was going to change his ways, given that at his own press conference, the Russian leader wouldn't even allow the name of Alexei Navalny to pass his lips. And Joe Biden got very irritated with Caitlin Collins from CNN at the end, saying to her that if she didn't understand why he thought it was possible that Vladimir Putin would change his ways, then she's in the wrong business. He subsequently apologized for that when he got to the airport to board Air Force One and fly home, but again rounded on the press, saying reporters keep asking him negative questions and he believes that it's important for him, on this occasion at least, to be optimistic and to accentuate the positive about what might be possible in the relationship between the United States and Russia. Look, he's been on the road for a week. It's obviously been a grueling trip and he's probably exhausted and eager to get back home to Washington. But there were flashes of irritation that he allowed to evince publicly that we haven't seen from him in the presidency so far.
And very briefly on this, Simon, because we're just about out of time, but I understand they've not appeared together since 2011. But of course, they will have met with Joe Biden having been in the vice presidency for 8 years and in the Senate for about 1,000 years. And of course, Putin has been in the Kremlin for about 1,000 years as well. So these are experienced politicians in their own spheres.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about Vladimir Putin today because, you know, the first American president that he met with was Bill Clinton. That's how long he's been on the scene. I think that he is supremely confident that he can get the measure of American presidents, safe in the knowledge that, unlike them, he doesn't really have to worry about term limits or elections in the same way. Now, he's facing far more opposition at home than he's ever faced before, and that's one of the reasons why the Americans are somewhat optimistic that in some measure they can extract improved behavior from him. Skeptics will argue that's a very long shot with Vladimir Putin.
Simon, thank you very much as ever. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Right, back to our conversation about loneliness on 0345 606 0973.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.